Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
I always love whenever there's a best of seven series, because then I get to hear my favorite sports reporter question. Would you consider this a must-win game? You know, they always feel like they have to say yes. Yeah, we want to win it. But it's not always the right answer, man. It's a math question. I wish I would answer that question honestly. It's a best of seven. You're down one game to nothing. Would you consider this a must-win game?
No.
No, we can lose tonight. We can lose tomorrow night, too. We don't want to, but that wasn't your question. You asked if it was a must-win game, and if you'd ever taken a rudimentary math class, you'd already know the magic number's three. When you're down three, then you must win them or you're out. I also don't like when they force answers on players, or, you know, are you dedicating this game to your dying grandmother? Well, I guess now I am. I didn't even know she was sick. The winning team always gives the losing team a lot of credit.
You got to give them a lot of credit. They came to play. They got a good team over there and a good squad. If we weren't perfect, I don't know if we would have won this game. They should hold their heads up high. You got to give them a lot of credit.
I wonder if that news ever gets to the loser's locker room. Great news, fellas. I just came from the winner's locker room. I am not making this up. They are giving you a lot of credit. I was just there. I got here as quickly as I could, but it was hard with the balloons and the confetti and all the champagne in my eyes. I was bouncing off walls to share the fantastic news. You're getting a lot of credit for their championship. And they've invited all of you to come over and kiss their rings. You guys are great. Thank you.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, October 10th, 2022, 29 days until what is going to be a, I don't even know. Don't make me think about this morning. There's just too many other unpleasant things going on. How you doing, kids? It's JC and I'm sore. I'm very, very sore. We had two games over the weekend. We had a rainout. I'll get to that in a minute. Let me tell you a little story here. This is a couple of years ago. This was probably, 10 years ago. And we, you know, play in the men's senior baseball league back then. And, you know, sometimes you play at Maryland Heights. Sometimes you play at Forest Park, Heine Miney, you know, all these different parks, all these places, a couple of places in Collinsville. What is it? Whitey Herzog's got a sports complex out there. So we never really knew where we were going to play. They scheduled the games all over the place, and you just have to look at the schedule and go, where am I going this week? So one week, we look and we find out that our game is at the Jackie Joyner Kersey Sports Complex. We're like, oh, it's sort of nice. I wonder what that place is like. I'm a big fan of Jackie Joyner Kersey. She's always been very, very sweet. She's one of the nicest people I have ever met. She's just so sweet. So like, okay, it's good. So we have the game, and it's you know, a night game. Starts at like 7:15, 7:30, something like that. And that's a big complex, and they got a lot of stuff going on every day there. You know, stuff for neighborhood kids, and you know, there's basketball courts and indoor facility, and I don't know what else they have there, but it's a really, really well put together place. So we're out on the baseball field, and everything now is automated, computerized, and you know, you have people maintaining the sports complex during the day, but they go home like everybody else, and maybe there's just one 17-year-old boy or something who's just running the concession stand, which they didn't even have one, so there might not have been anybody except us and the other team and the umpires. And a couple of wives were just sort of hanging around watching this baseball game that we're playing. It was a slow-moving game, very slow-moving game. And we realized it's getting late, And we're thinking to ourselves, I wonder if there's some sort of a curfew here or whatever, but, you know, let's just play the game. We're all standing out there in the middle of this game, and all of a sudden, all of the lights go off. And when I say they all go off, we might as well have been on the dark side of the moon. You could not see your hand in front of your face. Now, keep in mind, this was probably, as I think about it now, more than 10 years ago. And not like it is now where everybody has a flashlight on the phone. The parking lot is too far away, and so, you know, the headlights wouldn't have helped. I think one guy on our team had like one of those little pen lights that you just sort of hook onto your keychain. We're trying to, you know, pick up the bases and pick up all of our equipment, bag everything up, and somehow try to find our way in complete and total darkness back to the parking lot. And it is at that moment that I realize we are 15 white guys at 10 o'clock at night in complete darkness in East St. Louis. Yeah, fun, huh? Anyhow, so over the weekend, Saturday night, we have a night game on a Saturday night. That's fun. Rain out, rescheduled. That's the only time that they could schedule it. It's on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and the same damn thing happened. We're standing out there, and it was like, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock, whatever it was. Boom, boom, out go the lights. And it just shows you how the world has changed. Nobody panicked or anything like that because we all have flashlights on our cell phones. And there's a little story I put up on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran, you might want to look at. I don't want to belabor the whole situation right now. After a couple of very, very cold starts over the weekend, weather turns beautiful here for a couple of days. 81 today and I think 70 tomorrow. There's a little blip on the radar coming up on Thursday with the possibility of severe weather. It might be worth watching that. You can get some really, really bad storms this time of year because there's so much really, really cold air trying to get into the Midwest, but you still have a lot of sort of, I guess you would say, leftover summer, you know, 81 degrees. You get that really, really hot stuff with that super cold stuff. And again, boom, boom, out go the lights. Let's see how many scenarios I can discuss today where I can use that. And I realize a lot of you were watching the football game last night, but I was watching the baseball game because it's very, very entertaining to watch the Mets become desperate, which they became because they were facing elimination against San Diego last night. And if you're watching it, and even if you weren't, because this is going to be all over the internet today, whatever social media outfit you follow, I'm sure they're going to be put in this clip. I've already seen it a couple of times this morning on Facebook. Mets couldn't touch the San Diego pitcher last night, could not touch him. So the Mets manager decides, I'm going to accuse the San Diego pitcher of having illegal substances somewhere on his person. So the complete stoppage of game, and all the umpires get together and they talk for a real long time. And then eventually all walked up to the pitcher's mound and said, we got to check you out. And it was absolutely hilarious because for whatever reason, they may have had reason to suspect that the pitcher had something in his hair or behind his ears. And the umpires like rubbing his ears. Looked like your mother when you were little. Did you wash behind your ears? Which is something I never really understood. Because when you're a little boy, you get dirty in a lot of places. Behind your ears is not one of them. Trust me, there are a lot more dirty places on my body, than behind my ears. I would go so far as to say behind my ears might be the only clean part of my body. And the pitcher didn't have anything on him, and it became clear that the Mets were just panicking, going, we got to do something. We got to do something to try to throw this guy off. It didn't work. The Mets were eliminated. So if you're looking for something to be happy about this morning, at least you have that. Plus, Stan Kroenke, his football team lost yesterday. So there's two things to be happy about. And then we come to the Cardinals. And I'm still thinking about this. Can't play 162 games, and then, unfortunately, everybody just jumped on social media immediately and started voicing their opinions, doing an evaluation of the season, and making their recommendations for next year. And it's like, look, this is not the time to make those recommendations. Think think about it a little bit. I'm still thinking about what we saw. And, you know, sometimes you take a couple of days and maybe you don't think what you thought initially. Because when something like that happens, you have a completely emotional, completely visceral reaction to stuff like that. And you got to, you know, you got to think things out. If you're going to do a really honest to God, serious evaluation of things, you don't start posting things 30 seconds after the game is over. So I'm still thinking about stuff. The only thing I will say right now is that what was the deal with Paul Goldschmidt? Oh, yeah. I mean, I know the numbers were down and everything like that, but I'm more concerned about his demeanor. He looked like somebody who had completely lost his mojo. He had no confidence. He looked like the little kid that comes up in Little League in the last inning thinking, oh, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to make the last out. Or the little kid playing second base thinking, don't hit it to me. Don't hit it to me. Don't hit it to me. He just looked terrible out there. And keep in mind, the MVP voting ends at the end of the regular season, so nothing we saw in those two games in postseason are going to have any bearing on the vote. So he might win MVP, but my goodness, what was the deal? He just looked terrible. And I'm not blaming him for the fact that the Cardinals lost. It was just one of many reasons why. To be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, the Cardinals lost the series on Friday. You cannot, in postseason, allow something like that to happen. And yeah, I did go there over the weekend and said, would this have happened, that first game Friday? Would that have happened under Mike Schilt? And I say, no, it wouldn't have. And I think Ollie Marwell did a good job this year. No question about it. Did a good job. But managing in the playoffs and managing in the regular 162-game season, two completely different things. The Cardinals, by the way, 1-9 in their last 10 playoff games. That includes four straight losses at home. So much for the home field advantage. And I'll tell you one of the worst parts about this entire thing. I've been saying this for years, and I absolutely believe it. No question about it, I believe it. One of the greatest things about your team going to the World Series is that it shortens winter, because now it will be a slow approach to Halloween, and then Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and then New Year's, and then Martin Luther King weekend, which is when they usually have the winter warm-up, and then spring training in late February and March. Whereas, if you're having a victory parade the first week of November, now, by the time the residual hoopla of winning and having the parade and just everything, you blink, and now you're like, hey, wait a minute, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow. And the winter just moves through faster than you'd ever believe. Now, we don't have that. So thanks a lot. And next year's going to be different around the ballpark. You know, I don't know what Waino is doing. Waino's sort of dicking with us now, sort of playing with the idea of coming back for another year. I don't know what's going on. But no Albert. And the question becomes, who's going to supply all those home? What do you have, 24 home runs, I think it was? Who's going to supply all those home runs next year? That's a lot of offense, eh? So where's that run production going to come from? That's question number one. Or I should say issue number one. Issue number two is no Yadier Molina. And I firmly believe that our new catcher is going to be Wilson Contreras, who's played the last, 8 years for the Chicago Cubs. Nah, it's not eight. What was it? Well, actually, come to think about it, David Ross. So, yeah, maybe about 7 years. Okay, so about 7 years. Is Wilson Contreras Yadier Molina? No. Is Wilson Contreras a future Hall of Famer? No. But Wilson Contreras is a hell of a catcher, And rather than pulling out that silly, stupid, infantile bullshit about just hating everything about the Chicago Cubs, which I don't know how to explain it. Maybe because I'm not originally from St. Louis. Maybe I see it differently. But boy, does it make people in St. Louis look like a bunch of hicks when you're always complaining about Chicago or anything from Chicago. First of all, the cities are completely different. You can't compare a city of, 12 million people, market number 3. You can't compare that to a city the size of St. Louis. There's nothing similar. If this was boxing, we'd be in two completely different weight classes. But if you can just set that silliness aside, I think that you're going to find that we all should be very, very fortunate that a guy like Wilson Contreras is going to be available to us. And I do believe that he is the next Cardinal catcher, and we should be extremely, extremely grateful that we're going to have a guy like this. And then we got rule changes, more of them next year, going to have the bigger bases. So here we go. We're also a lot closer to everything just costing more money. They're talking about mergers and everything with regard to, you know, Bally's, what used to be Fox Sports Midwest. Pretty soon, you're not going to be able to watch anything on a television or a computer without paying a hefty price for it. Baseball, obviously, already doing it. A lot of people completely confused by the postseason playoff schedule. And I'll tell you something else, and I'm going to make a big jump here over to politics. Karl Rove, for my money, is the embodiment of all that is evil in the world. However, give credit where credit is due, he's a brilliant marketer. That's what the whole thing is about. It's about marketing. And Karl Rove and the Republicans totally understand that. And I could give you 10 examples right off the top of my head, from Willie Horton all the way to Welfare Queens to all spots in between. And one of the things that Karl Rove totally understands is marketing. Make the message simple. And if you can give it a little catchy name, even better than that. It's all borrowed from the advertising world. It's all borrowed from Madison Avenue. I was making the guys in the dugout yesterday laugh because we were talking about acyclovir, you know, the stuff that you have to put on yourself when you have herpes. That's by prescription only, I guess. I don't know. I don't use it. But it's part of the joke. It's just part of the setup. And it's like, well, at some point, it is going to be over the counter, and they're going to have to market acyclovir the way they market anything else. And Preparation H is already taken. So I came up with... and if you have herpes, by the way, I'm not saying this to embarrass you. It's just a little joke. I came up with the idea of Mr. Blister. Good morning, everybody. So anyhow, the reason I bring all this up, and don't kid yourself, there is a reason for it. NLDS and NLCS are absolutely abysmal names for postseason playoffs in Major League Baseball. Even something as simple as hockey, you know, it's like round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. People understand that. The NFC Championship game. Very, very easy to understand. NLDS really rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Like, I don't know, the ratings are down for like the eighth straight year. It's like, well, first of all, give the goddamn thing a name that people can relate to. I was thinking you should pick three icons from the American League and three icons from the National League and name the playoff rounds after them. The Musial round, the Clemente round, and the Koufax round. You got a white guy, a Dominican, and a Jewish guy. Everybody goes away happy. You go over to the American League, you do the same thing. Throw some white guys in there, throw some black guys in there, you know, icons of Major League Baseball. And then, you know, it'll take a year or two, but people will catch on. They'll get it. And if you don't like my idea, that's fine. But come up with something better than NLCS and NLDS, which are the stupidest fucking names for anything I've ever heard. While Major League Baseball, the people who are the forces that be, are running around making all these changes, they don't even see how stupid that sounds. Now, the other thing you can do about ratings is do not a better job, a lot better job about making it easier for people to find the goddamn games. I can't tell you how much stuff I saw on social media over the weekend going, I can't find the game. Where is it? If you can't find the game, you can't watch it. If you don't watch it, it's reflected in the ratings. I'm the talk show host. I'm the radio guy. I'm the guy who comes on here every morning and tells you about stuff that I think you want to know or need to know. And I didn't even know where the games were half the time. So again, these guys who are running Major League Baseball right now, oh, they're doing a hell of a job. They're running around checking everything. They're changing this and they're changing that. They're just not doing much of anything that really helps anything. All right, I'm tired of talking about baseball and the Cardinals and the whole thing. Like I said, I want to think about this a couple of more days before I issue a statement that I know the world is just hanging on, waiting to hear what I have to say. Ah, yeah, that's right. Today is Columbus Day. Columbus, the most famous explorer, not named Dora. And I thought my daughter would be off school today, but no, they're plowing right over the top of Columbus Day. And I don't know anybody who's off today, but I bet you the banks and the post offices are closed. I don't know that, but I bet they are. The Rock has decided not to run for president. Well, now what are we supposed to do? And then there's William Shatner, who gets the chance of a lifetime. He gets to go into outer space, and he says the whole thing made him sad. Here's the quote. "It filled me with dread. My trip to space was supposed to be a celebration. Instead, it felt like a funeral. It was among the strongest feelings of grief I've ever encountered. The contrast between the vicious coldness of space and the warm nurturing of Earth below filled me with overwhelming sadness. Every day we are confronted with the knowledge of further destruction of Earth at our hands, the extinction of animal species, things that took 5 billion years to evolve and suddenly we'll never see them again because of the interference of mankind." I'm not saying he's wrong. It's just like Monday morning. Thanks for the pick-me-up. Speaking of space, Tom Cruise in talks with Universal to film a movie on the International Space Station, and it might involve him becoming, quote, the first civilian to do a spacewalk outside of the space station. My question is this. You can simulate all that stuff in a studio now. What was that George Clooney, Sandra Bullock movie? Gravity. Sure looked to me like it was outer space. Every outer space movie, you know, that's just it's a contest between and among all of the special effects guys to see who can make it look most real. And if Tom Cruise puts out a movie that they actually shot in outer space, that's great and everything, but it's still going to come down to whether the movie is any good. Jamie Lee Curtis, grateful for everything the Halloween franchise has given her, and she knows it's what she'll be remembered for. Here's the quote. "One of these days, it's going to say three words. Halloween actress dies," end quote. Everybody's in a good, cheerful mood here today. And then there's Kanye West, who went off on the Jews over the weekend. They cut him off Instagram and restricted one of his tweets on Twitter. Fans are demanding refunds for a Garth Brooks concert. It was down near Lake of the Ozarks, I guess, because of gridlock traffic. Thousands of attendees had to park in a fruit farm lot that only had two buses shuttling people. So many were not able to make it to the show on time, and they want their money back. All right, television tonight, Monday Night Football, Kansas City hosting the Raiders. Late night, Jimmy Fallon's got Rachel Maddow, Magic Johnson with Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, who have a new movie coming out, but boy, were they good in a movie called In Bruges. If you've never seen it, it is on my list of all-time favorite movies. Man, is there a lot going on in that movie. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, the movie In Bruges. Anyhow, they're on with Colbert tonight to talk about their other projects. James Corden, Marlon Wayans, and Mark Maron. And Seth Meyers has Vice President Kamala Harris and also Gina Davis. Back to the Future. For my money, one of the best movies ever made. Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd together on stage at a New York Comic Con over the weekend. It was a very nice picture. Kim Kardashian's new podcast beat out both Joe Rogan and Meghan Markle. Emma Stone got booed for wearing San Diego gear to the Mets playoffs game in New York. First it was Winnie the Pooh. Now there's going to be a Grinch horror movie. A new series called America's Got Talent All-Stars going to bring back contestants from former seasons. Oh, what a surprise. Simon Cowell, Heidi Klum, and Howie Mandel will be the judges. You'll see this next year sometime. A new Wednesday trailer shows Fred Armisen as Uncle Fester and Christina Ricci as a faculty member at Wednesday Adams School. Netflix, November 23rd. Over the weekend, People Magazine published the obituary of Joni Mitchell. The only problem, she's not dead. They apologize for the mistake. And I'm a little surprised to hear this because you always say to yourself, you know, when they make the announcement of the Hall of Fame inductees or even the people who are nominated, the bands and the artists that are nominated, it's always brought, and I do this too, it's always brought up about the snubs, in some cases, long, long time snubs, something I know a little something about. But you're like, wait a minute, Foreigner's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? REO Speedwagon? Boston? Styx? Jan Lehner says none of those bands have ever been mentioned by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominating committee. Foreigner, REO Speedwagon, Boston, and Styx. Well, Albert Pujols, three-time MVP, 11-time All-Star, two World Series champions, six Silver Sluggers, two Gold Gloves, 2001 Rookie of the Year, 703 home runs, 2,218 RBIs, and 3,384 hits. And you know what? In 5 years, when he's eligible for the Hall of Fame, there are going to be people who don't vote for him. All right, birthdays today. Dale Jr. is 48. Mario Lopez, 49. Brett Favre, 53. Boy, is that boy in some trouble. Julia Sweeney from Saturday Night Live and Pulp Fiction, 63. Bradley Whitford from The West Wing, 63. Also, he played the, what was it, the nephew of Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman? Tanya Tucker doing that San Antonio stroll, 64. David Lee Roth, 68. And Ben Vereen, Chicken George in Roots, 76. And the guy that composer David Foster ran over with his car about 20 years ago. Oh, man. The year was 1968, and I was working at the Colony Theater on the southwest side of Chicago at the candy counter, and I always timed it so I took my break for that entire autumn season. I had it timed out where the nude scenes in Barbarella were. Jane Fonda. Let's just say it changed my life. That movie came out 54 years ago today. Neil Diamond, Cracklin' Rosie, his first number one song in 1970 on this date. 78, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry of Aerosmith injured during a concert in Philadelphia when an excited fan threw a cherry bomb on stage. For a long time after that, Aerosmith would only perform behind a chain link fence. And Laverne and Shirley, the cartoon series, debuted on ABC on this date back in 1981. And I have absolutely no recollection of that ever having been on television. And dancers at a strip club in Los Angeles are trying to become the only unionized strippers in the country. That would make them the only union where the dues are paid with crumpled $1 bills. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Monday, October 10th, 2022 is in the can. 29 days until the midterm clusterfuck. All right, we're here every weekday morning just after 7 o'clock when we post the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. Please tell everyone you know that we are here doing it. Email me, jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We only do politics when it is absolutely unavoidable, and it's going to start getting more and more unavoidable as we go on here. We thank you for being aboard today. Have a great day. In the meantime, we've eaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.